The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended. The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity, and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, February 4th, 2010 and 2011. It took me till February to finally make that mistake, but I did it. It's 2011 and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm all excited about the Green Bay Packers going to the Super Bowl. You gotta cut me some slack here, people. Welcome to the show. We got a great show for you today, and joining us here alongside me running the knobs and pushing the buttons is our own Ganja John.
You get it, running knobs.
Running knobs. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
I'm telling you, I'm discombobulated from the whole Super Bowl thing. I'm so excited. I'm
all
just shaking.
Think about.
All I can think about. I've got my Super Bowl ready here. Here, we've got the Super Bowl, just in case you need to. There we go. That's the Super Bowl. We're ready to smoke the Super Bowl here on Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us here. Crazy things going on in the studio. We're still trying to get a hold of Cannabis Carrie. We don't know if she'll be with us today or not, but for today's show, we've got plenty of hemp headlines that we'll be bringing to you right after this first break. And today, Herb Thrasher joins us at 20 after for some Rockin' Friday music from Scissor Fight. This one's going to rock hard and heavy. And then at half past, we join with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. He's going to tell us about the latest weed on TV. The various shows that are exploring marijuana use in their plots, as well as NFL drug busts and a couple of very high-profile activists who are now behind bars, and unfortunately so. And then at the end of the show, we've got a little bit of radical rant. I want to show you a flyer that is being passed around all over this country in legislatures from Montana to Massachusetts that is from the National Association of Drug Court Professionals. 8 pages of complete reefer madness, and we'll be debunking it today in the Radical Rant. All that and more coming up on today's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around and make sure you check out our blog, stash.normal.org. You can follow us on Twitter, normal_show_live. Follow me, Radical Russ, Ganja John, J-O-N, Cannabis Carrie, K-A-R-R-I, Celeb Stoners on Twitter as well, and Herb Age. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, medical cannabis cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Cannabis Carrie can't be with us. She is so busy working on the Bob Marley's birthday celebration that they do every year up there in Astoria, Oregon. So I'm Radical Russ here with your hemp headlines. A Montana meeting to discuss the bill for repeal of medical marijuana in the state was dominated this week 3-1 by opponents of repeal of medical marijuana. This is reported by the Billings Gazette. At issue before the House Human Services Committee was House Bill 161 by House Speaker Mike Milburn, Republican of Cascade. The preliminary count of people signed up to speak showed 86 opponents and 28 supporters of the bill. The committee took no immediate action on the vote. Milburn talked about the huge increase in people obtaining medical marijuana cards. More than 28,000 people now have them, and what it has done to Montana and its schools, cities, and towns with the increased use of marijuana by teens. And again, I pointed this out before, but that's not a true statistic at all. Marijuana use by 12 to 17 year-olds in Montana has dropped 28.7% since the advent of medical marijuana in that state. He said there's no scientific studies that prove marijuana has any medicinal value. Well, we've got 19,000 published studies showing that there's a medical value to it. And I'm just most happy about hearing the great turnout of supporters, opponents of this bill, supporters of medical marijuana, turning out to oppose this bill and to stand up for their medical use rights. We're looking forward to hearing more good news from Montana. And to get involved, you can join up with Montana Normal at montananormal.org and Montana Patients and Families United at mtpfu.org. Cannabis advocates are telling the GOP why not cut the DEA's budget. This from Talking Points memo. Trimming the federal largesse that keeps the DEA fat and happy makes sense. Billions of dollars are thrown away on a quixotic and foolish war on marijuana that never achieves its goals.
We're having some problems today.
Technical difficulties, excuse us there. That never achieves its goals and that sees as its victims not only families but civil liberties and respect for law enforcement as well. The DEA was told last month, along with the FBI, ATF, and the U.S. Marshals Service, to freeze hiring and curb spending in a memo from Attorney General Eric Holder, reports Jason Ryan at ABC News. The DEA's budget proposal for fiscal year 2011 noted that marijuana seizures had nearly doubled in fiscal year 2009. Meanwhile, conservative Republicans in the House said they planned deep budget cuts, which, according to Democrats, would require the Department of Justice to fire 4,000 FBI agents and 1,500 DEA DEA agents if applied equally across the board. The Office of Management and Budget could also cut the budget of the National Drug Intelligence Center, reports Devlin Barrett of the Wall Street Journal. Conservatives have long said the center is a waste of taxpayer money, which hasn't provided the high-quality analysis of drug networks that it had promised. Well, this has been a centerpiece of a lot of the Republicans that campaigned for office in the 2010 election, saying there's too much government spending, too many wasteful programs. Well, you could not find a more wasteful program, a more inefficient use of government dollars than the war on marijuana. We have over 100 million people in this country above the age of 18 who have tried marijuana and 25 million adults over 18 who will use it this year. Obviously, the money that we've been spending hasn't worked. All it has done is keep the price of marijuana moderately high. In a sense, you might think of it as a government subsidy for street corner drug dealers. It manages to be a price support that wouldn't otherwise exist for such an easily grown dried vegetable matter. We always look forward to helping our opponents look at ways of cutting the budget, and we think the DEA's budget could be one of them.
Nothing.
Okay. We're having some fun with our radio here, so we'll just continue on with the news. The DEA has hit Michigan again. Two caregivers were raided and charged. This is from City Pulse. Randall Darling, age 24, and Joseph Johnson, also in his 20s, each face counts of growing more than 100 marijuana plants, according to court documents. The federal cultivation charges come with a 5-year minimum prison sentence. Warrants were issued for Darling and Johnson on January 20th. Both await pretrial hearings. Both defendants were within the state's medical marijuana law, according to Johnson's attorney. While the DEA confiscated more than 200 plants from a grow operation in Mason, Johnson and Darling are both patients and caregivers with the maximum allowed 5 patients. Under Michigan law, each can grow up to 72 plants and possess 15 ounces of usable cannabis. Other caregivers were also using the house as a growing site, according to Johnson's attorney. And, another DEA raid in Michigan. We've seen recent raids in Las Vegas, Nevada, San Jose, California. The raids are continuing. And this is something that has been brought up by another one of the groups in marijuana reform, Americans for Safe Access, which has just recently released a letter detailing how the Obama holder administration released the holder memo, the attorney general there. But he says he is going to continue to we have a U.S. attorney, who says she is going to continue prosecuting these farms regardless if they're following state law. This from Oakland, California, the U.S. attorney Melinda Hogg or Hag, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, H-A-A-G, wrote that her office will continue to vigorously enforce federal anti-drug laws. This is from the Associated Press. The warning in a letter from U.S. Attorney Melinda Hogg offered the first clear signal that the Justice Department would not tolerate even city-sanctioned growing operations, despite the Obama administration's hands-off approach to states that have legalized medical marijuana. The department is concerned about the Oakland Ordinance's creation of a licensing scheme that permits large-scale industrial marijuana cultivation and manufacturing as it authorizes conduct contrary to federal law, Hogg wrote in the letter to Oakland City Attorney John Russo, dated Tuesday. Hogg's letter acknowledges an October 2009 Justice Department memo instructing federal prosecutors to avoid going after patients complying with state laws regarding the medical use of marijuana. But Hogg wrote that her office will vigorously enforce federal anti-drug laws against illegal manufacturing and distributing of marijuana, quote, even if such activities are permitted under state law, end quote. Well, this leads me to ask if Melinda Hogg is actually an employee of Eric Holder. I know at places where I worked, if the boss released a memo saying, don't do that, and if we did that, whatever it was, we'd be fired. I wonder how that works in the Department of Justice when one of your U.S. attorneys is saying they're just going to go right ahead and break the rules that you have set up there, Attorney General Holder. I wonder how he's going to be reacting to that. It's very interesting. And Americans for Safe Access noted this as well, and I'll bring up their letter here and give you some of their words on this situation. It would appear that raids by the Drug Enforcement Administration in medical marijuana states have declined since President Obama's Justice Department issued its infamous memorandum in October 2009. But, in fact, raids have continued at an alarming pace. For example, in the 16 months since the Obama administration's policy change, the DEA has conducted at least 43 raids in California, Colorado, Michigan, and Nevada. That's nearly 3 raids per month on average. Although arrests were not made at all the raids, President Obama's Justice Department has seen fit to indict and prosecute at least 24 patients and providers in conjunction with those federal actions. Can this really be the result of a new federal enforcement policy? Did the American people envision their tax dollars going to such harmful and unnecessary federal actions, especially after a policy was issued claiming that such actions would cease? With popular American support for medical marijuana at more than 80%, we think not. It's time for the Obama administration to deliver on its promise to leave patients alone. The DEA must take a hands-off approach to enforcement of medical marijuana production and distribution. Any allegations of local or state law violation should be prosecuted in state court, not in federal court. That is, no more federal indictments. In addition, DEA agents should be refusing to assist local law enforcement in raids on patients and providers, period. Only after federal government stands down on this issue will the states and their localities be able to effectively implement medical marijuana laws passed by the people. That's from Americans for Safe Access. You can learn more about the organization at Safe Access Now. Okay, another alert that we have from our Action Alert Center, you can find that at normal.org. Look for Write Your Representative. The State Senate considers licensing medical cannabis dispensaries in Hawaii. Members of the Senate Committee on Health and the Senate Committee on Public Safety, Government Operations, and Military Affairs will hear testimony on Friday, February 4th, that's today, in support of Senate Bill 1458, which allows for the state-licensed production and distribution of medical marijuana and cannabis-infused therapeutic products. In 2010, Senate lawmakers overwhelmingly approved a similar measure, but the proposal failed to make it through the House. Friday's hearing is scheduled for 3:45 p.m. in Conference Room 229 of the State Capitol, so there's still time to get there. Additional hearing information is available by visiting our blog at stash.normal.org. You can urge your member of Senate to support this legislation by entering your zip code at our CapWiz, which you can find at normal.org/issues. Interesting bit of celebrity news with Steve Bloom coming on later on the show here at half past with the Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. But this was from Roseanne Barr, and we bring this to you from Cannabis Culture Online. She has a new book out called Rosanarchy, Dispatches from the Nut Farm, and she talks a lot about her experiences with cannabis. And specifically, she talks about the incident where she had that failed attempt to sing the national anthem. You remember that, where she kind of screeched it out and got booed pretty badly. Here's her quote from the book. "Shortly after the national anthem horror, I started to feel as though I were waking up from a bad nightmare. The Prozac, Zoloft, Klonopin, and several other mood-altering drugs that had been prescribed for me by psychiatrists, whose destruction by Scientology I now welcome, for my multiple personality bipolar obsessive compulsive disorder, were no longer doing the trick of shielding me from reality. I became even more depressed than normal, like a lot of people do after they take antidepressants. I had stopped smoking the herb of the goddess that had forever kept me balanced enough to become successful and rich in order to support my then husband's sobriety, and that led to a massive bipolar troubles that were all capped off with tons of psychiatrists and psychiatric drugs, none of which helped with my problems at all, and in fact made them even worse." We also have a part here from Cannabis Culture where they note Barr's hilarious 2006 HBO special Blonde and Bitchin' contained her trenchant observation. Quote, "The war on drugs is a war on poor people using street drugs waged by people." Quote, "The war on drugs is a war on poor people using street drugs waged by rich people on prescription drugs." And in Rosanarchy, she writes of a natural substance called THC and says, "It's the only drug that should be legal. In fact, it should be mandatory. She also recommends meditation and invites all to join her at 2 a.m. on Friday night, Saturday morning. She posts her present time zone at RoseanneWorld.com. So very interesting. I remember that big national anthem debacle she went through. And, I mean, that's a tough song as it is. You try doing it on Prozac, Zoloft, and Klonopin. That's a little ridiculous. And I like the quote, you know, saying that smoking herb is what had forever kept me balanced enough to become successful and rich. Well, we're trying to stay balanced here at Normal Show Live, and we hope that it makes us successful and rich too. Thanks for joining us on this ride. That's your Hemp Headlines for today. And when we get come back, we'll have a little bit of music from Scissor Fight in our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tunes.
That was rough, guys.
That was rough.
Take a cough there, Russ.
Something wrong with the machine.
Yeah.
We'll get it all fixed. Be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
Said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to know how it is.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. Considering the last segment, this may be the most appropriately named song we've ever played on Rockin' Friday. We got Herb Thrasher on the line with us. How's it going, Herb?
All right, how's it going there in the studio today, guys?
We got us a terrible, terrible case of cottonmouth. Is there anything you can do for us?
I think we might could come up with something. Yeah, you know, down with that cottonmouth, man. We don't need a helicopter for cottonmouth, but we need a glass of juice.
That's right.
You know, it's really that simple.
That's all I need.
So, yeah, today's band is Scissor Fight. And they formed in 1995, an American four-piece band from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, funded by singer-songwriter Iron Lung. Iron Lung, dude. How about that?
That's
that ought to
awesome.
Give you something about his name right there. And in fact, here's the key right here. Named for his ability to take in illegal substances. See? Dude, this guy right here would work out well for our Normal Show Live audience. To stand up there and look scary. Scissor Fight has a strong libertarian viewpoint and defines itself as acid mountain rock. Bet you have never heard of any acid mountain rock.
I'm not.
Oh, here's a good tidbit, too. Listeners are going to love this one. The band's name comes from the lesbian sexual practice called tribadism. So I don't know, guys. I don't make this stuff up, man. I just try to relay what the bands kind of give us, and there it is.
There you have
it. So relocating to Boston in early 2000s, the band was not easily accepted by the local music scene due to their extreme behavior. Striding forward with the fierce grooves and insane stage shows, the band finally achieved some local success, but never really generated much out of the underground. The band is believed to be on hiatus right now, after half the band is left for other projects. Though they continue to retain a dedicated fan base, their future is in question. So let this song be a reminder to you guys that helicopters are bad when used by toys, by law enforcement to look for plants.
Yeah.
Who pays for these joyrides? You do, guys. You know, that's freaking crazy, man. Down with the helicopters. We need a glass of juice. So I hope you guys enjoyed. Check out Scissor Fight. Enjoy this rocking tune, and make sure you guys turn it up.
All right.
Here you go.
Here we go. Let's rock with Scissor Fight. Helicopter killing Cottonmouth.
I love it.
Blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
That's right. On the first and third Fridays of the month, and fifth, if there is one, we visit with Steve Bloom in New York City. Steve, how are you doing today?
Hey, Russ. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to Super Bowl Sunday with my team in the big game.
Yeah, well, congratulations to you.
I'm having a good time. I'm sorry the Jets couldn't have made it, though. I wanted to see, you know me, I wanted it to be Packers-Jets.
It would have been green against green.
Green against green. Hey, there's a lot of NFL celeb stoner news. We'll get to that in a second. But the thing you wanted to start off with today, you know, and I've been noticing this myself, it seems that marijuana is coming up more and more in mainstream primetime television type plot lines, as well as the shows on cable. Give us a roundup. Tell us what's going on TV these days.
Well, it's been quite a week, actually. I mean, in the last 7 to 8 days, there were three major shows that featured marijuana use, going back to Community, which was on Thursdays on NBC. So 2 Thursdays ago, there was an episode called Celebrity Pharmacology that, if people know the show at all, that Chevy Chase is on the show, and
sure,
she played a character named Drugs in an anti-drug school play. And he just basically, you know, kind of sabotaged the play by making up lines and becoming the kids really loved him, and so he became like the favorite, the character of Drugs. And it turns out they fired him after the first act, and they send out another character to play the Drugs character, and the kids are like chanting, "We want Drugs, we want Drugs." And the next character comes out, is played by Ken Jeong. He gets like attacked by the kids, and you know, he gets beaten up because, you know, the kids didn't like him because he was giving a real anti-drug speech, whereas Chevy Chase was not really doing that. He was saying, you know, ain't no party like a party with drugs and things like that. So they really took it, you know, like the light approach to it. It's very interesting. And that show is on at 8 o'clock on NBC, where you probably have some young kids watching the show, and yet they didn't really cater to the anti-drug line that you usually would see on TV, especially for shows at that hour. So that was really cool. And then Californication last Sunday, episode 4 of the new season, featured a marijuana scene, but that's not unusual. I mean, Californication has a lot of drugs, coke and pot and drinking, cigarettes, alcohol, the whole thing. But it did take episode 4 for marijuana to appear on this show again in this season, and the context of it was just a party at somebody's house, and just kind of a funny line where you know, now they're sitting around smoking, and there's some scantily clad women walking around, more or less offering sex, and Hank, who's played by David Duchovny, is like, "No, you know, I can't do that now. I'm too stoned. You know, too stoned to ball," was his line. TSTB. Never heard that one before. So that was kind of funny. And then probably most significant was on Tuesday of this week, Parenthood. Also on NBC, that's a 10 o'clock show, and that's you know, the show that's based on the movie Parenthood, Ron Howard's movie, and it's in its second season. It's based in Berkeley, and you know, the opening episode of the pilot last season had a marijuana theme, where one of the kids of, you know, of the extended family was found with some pot, and they never really got back around to it until this season. Now, late in this season, there's been a changeover in the ownership of the shoe company, where Adam Braverman, who's sort of the main character in the story, or one of the main characters, he's more or less runs it as like the manager of the place, but his boss who left, who was played by Baldwin, one of the Baldwin brothers, and he leaves, and now a new guy comes in, guy who's called Corey, a guy named Anthony Carrigan, who's the stoner boss now, and he's come in, he's a skateboarding guy, he's bringing in all his stoner friends to help run the company, and 2 episodes ago, they turned the rec room into like a stoner lounge with bongs and hookers and all kinds of stuff. So you figured something else was going to happen. Well, as it turns out, in this last episode this week, the boss gives Adam, during a little chat that they're having about the direction of the company, he says, would you like an edible? He's sucking a lollipop, and he says, edible? And Adam's so naive, he just doesn't know, you know, that the guy, his boss is giving him a loaded lollipop. So it's really fun, because Adam's very kind of straight and laced on the show. He's very under control. Everything kind of falls on him. Any problems in the family, everybody goes to him. He has to really, you know, keep everything under control. He's a little bit of a tight ass, always under control. Well, marijuana kind of like loosens him up, and it's a really fun episode because he goes and he sees his brother-in-law and his brother, and he's talking nonstop with these ideas, and they look at him like, what's with you? You're not, something's wrong. And they said, well, you know, they gave him a lollipop. Well, do you know what's in the lollipop? He says, no. He says, well, you're stoned. Oh, really? So then they go over to there's a bachelorette party going on for one of the, the girl on the show, the women on the show are all getting together, and the guys show up, and they really want to throw him out because, you know, there's too many guys at this bachelorette party, but turns out that he's so much fun. He's like, oh, he's eating this, and he's eating that, and he can't stop talking. He's got the munchies, and they kind of love him now. He's much more lovable when he's stoned. So that's all played for kind of good, fun laughs, and it's not, you know, anything, you know, nothing bad happens. And remember, you know, that tends to be what Hollywood likes to do, is they like to put marijuana out there and then give you some morality story of like, well, why it's bad and you shouldn't do it. They're not doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really kind of interesting on television now. They're not building in these negative storylines, you know, to sort of make it palatable to advertisers and anybody else out there, parent groups and so on and so forth. You know, there wasn't an uproar about any of these shows. Nobody seemed to notice. The parent groups are so busy with Skins,
you know,
that they're not paying attention to these other more mainstream shows.
Yeah.
And by the way, Skins has its share of drug use as well. They didn't have anything pickling this latest episode was pills and stuff like that. There was no pot. But in the first two episodes of Skins, there was also a lot of marijuana, you know, themes built into that. So there's, you know, there's a lot of it on television right now. There's no question.
You know, I was just reading about Skins, and the author was writing about this and comparing the British version to the American version and kind of complaining that the American version doesn't quite show enough that what's nice about the British version is shows these kids partying and hooking up, but it also shows the consequences of the partying and the hooking up, the days after, the bad feelings, the fights and all.
And it's got tons of
nudity. You get some consequences. I mean, in this, you know, the first episode of Skins was the episode where Stanley is given the responsibility of scoring somebody for a party. So he goes to this sort of skanky dealer guy, and he ends up getting fronted a quarter pound for $900, great price. And that the way that episode goes, this car that they're all driving in goes toppling into this lake or something, and everything, you know, in the car, you know, gets soaked, including this big bag of weed that comes popping up to the surface at the end of the episode. It's kind of funny. So now, you know, they have now the next episode, that dealer guy is trying to track down Stanley, who's kind of blowing it off because he owes him the money, and they haven't gotten back to it. And I don't know if they're going to. I presume they might, but it was kind of a suggestion that maybe the dealer guy was going to get roughed up by one of the kids' parents, and it's sort of like they sent them away, like leave him alone. I don't know where that's going. But it seems like, I mean, it's a pretty graphic, you know, storyline around sex and drugs, you know, among a teenage group, no question.
Yeah. It exists, and there's no reason it can't be examined as long as it's done so in an, you know.
Well, one of the things I would like to say about Skins is that look at all the advertisers who are bailing. You know, think about, you know, we always like to do our boycotts, our stoner boycotts. Let's boycott some of those companies like Taco Bell, Subway, who are pulling their ads from Skins because it's too risque. Mm. Okay, we won't go and buy your crappy food.
There you go. The Super Bowl is this weekend, Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers, and with the Jets out of it, that was Santonio Holmes, the highest profile toker athlete that I knew that was going into the big game or had the possibility of going to the big game. Don't have much on the Steelers and the Packers. Do you have any other NFL drug bust news for us?
Well, there was one a few weeks ago. Lawrence Maroney, the former New England Patriot, who's now at the Denver Broncos, he was arrested in St. Louis. Pretty typical vehicle stop, marijuana and guns found. Interestingly, Maroney's comments about this, he says, it's just a simple fact that an NFL player, a person of celebrity status, is always in the limelight. They feel like they have to be protected because we feel like we're the targets of most people because they know who we are. And and they know we have money, and they see us in nice cars and things like that, we're targets. Therefore, we carry guns. So, you know, it just continues to happen over and over and over again. I think, you know, the charges compound when there's guns involved with drugs, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, you get into that much more trouble. So that happened with him lately. He's the latest addition to the all-NFL drug team, the all-NFL drug bust team.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, in other news, you know, celebrity activist news, we've got a couple of very high-profile activists in the movement who are now behind bars, unfortunately. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, Dana Beale, you know, was arrested about a month ago in Wisconsin with a large amount of marijuana. He was traveling, caught on the road, 186 pounds, I believe. He's still incarcerated, and that's kind of a surprise because Dana usually gets out when he's after he's arrested. He's been arrested several times in the Midwest on similar charges over the last few years, and he's still in jail. And I haven't heard a peep from his people. I usually hear, oh, Dana's out or something, or they're trying to collect money for him. So I'm not really sure what's going on. I'll have to sort of look into it. I've been meaning to, like, what's going on with Dana Beale, but he remains in jail, as far as I know. And the other high-profile marijuana activist, entrepreneur who is in jail now is Brett Bogue. Brett is the he has Apothecary Genetics, which is a marijuana breeding company, and they've been over to the Cannabis Cup a bunch of times. Brett's sort of a long-time associate of High Times people, as a sponsor of a lot of their events. He ran Apothecary Travel for years and booked travel packages to the Cannabis Cup with High Times. High Times, I think, does that now separately without Brett, but Brett's been a long-time sponsor of a lot of events that High Times does, and he also has the online university called Gecko, and Brett's, you know, one of those players out in California who I understood was looking to, you know, jump into the cultivation business in Oakland, you know, where they're, you know, talking about allowing, you know, number of farms that would be associated with dispensaries in the Oakland area. And I know he was looking to jump into that, but unfortunately Brett had an old arrest hanging on him that goes back to 2006 up in Mendocino County. He was arrested for manufacturing and, you know, in a house. Basically what was happening was Brett was in a house with, you know, with a bunch of people, and they were doing a big trimming job on a crop that was Brett's crop. And police came, and, you know, Brett always claimed that it was a setup, how it happened, how it went down. It wasn't his house. And so he pretty much had been fighting it for years. And he exhausted his appeals. And so he had to submit to, surrender to the court, which he did last Friday. And they're trying to get him on home monitoring. They're trying to do some things, but he lives in Southern California now, and so whatever agreements he had, you know, were when he lived up there, and maybe they're not existing right now. So they're trying to appeal. Plus Brett's got some health problems where he needs some surgery. Brett has some cysts. He's had cancer, and so, you know, it's an issue. He's supposed to stay in jail now through May. So unless anything changes, Brett's going to be in the Mendocino County Jail for the next 6 months.
Mm. It's always sad to have to hear those stories. You know, I had just seen Dana in Denver in December, and he approached me and he threw his arms out and said, "I'm not in jail yet." And unfortunately, the last thing I heard from Dana Beale, and the next thing I heard
was
jail.
He was referring to his Nebraska case.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that was, you know, so he was kind of, you know, very much, you know, focused on beating that case, which was a couple of years ago out in Nebraska, also stopped. That was after the Normal Conference, mm-hmm. The one in San Francisco,
right.
A couple of years ago, and we saw him there. And then shortly after that, on the route back to New York, he was stopped a vehicle with 150 pounds, and he's been fighting that one. So, you know, now he's got this one on top of that. Maybe that's the reason why they're not letting him go, you know, because he's got multiple charges, even though they're in different states. Maybe they're just trying to build some other case against him. I'm not really sure what's going on, you know, but it's definitely a problem, and it's going to interfere with the ability to run the Million Marijuana Global, you know, event that takes place, you know, the Global Marijuana March, the Worldwide Marijuana March that runs, you know, in the first Saturday of May, and that's pretty much been his, you know, focal point, you know, over the years, you know, to work on that on an annual basis. So I gather, you know, his people that he works with are going to step in and help out. But, yeah, you know, this would be the time of the year when he'd be, you know, really diving into that. So,
well, yeah, good luck to Dane out there, and we hope the best for him. Before we let you go, Steve, want to make sure that if you got any events coming up that you're going to be at this spring, or any other news you'd like to let us know?
Well, you know, honestly, you know, we're just, you know, hanging here in New York, you know, dealing with all the inclement weather and snow piling up, and it'd be nice to go to a warm weather climate, but I'm sort of basically hanging out here. There's an event happening in Phoenix that I was supposed to be involved with, but I'm not sure if it's going through. It's an event that they were trying to put together an expo out there, but it may not be happening. I don't think they had enough time to pull it together. It was supposed to be for next weekend, and I haven't heard much lately from the folks who are doing it, and I gather you haven't either. So, you know, that's probably not going to happen. And basically, between now and the normal conference, I would say, you know, I'm probably going to be, you know, staying pretty much at home, or, you know, on the East Coast, and looking forward to, you know, going back out to Denver, you know, where we just were for KushCon, and going out there for the normal conference on the week of 420. So that would be it. And of course, you know, still promoting my book, Reefer Movie Madness, the Ultimate Stoner Film Guide, with over 600 movie reviews of really fun Stony movies that, you know, feature marijuana and other drugs, are just fun to watch stone. So I encourage people to go out and buy my book at Amazon.
Yeah, I've been seeing the weather reports from out there in the Northeast, and compared to what you're going through, Portland right now is a tropical paradise. We're like, what, 55?
Is it really?
55 and sunny right now.
Yeah, it's sunnier than heck.
Strange weather we're having.
Very odd. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us, Steve, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right,
good luck to the Packers.
Have a good Super Bowl week.
Okay.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Geek? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Five of the last seven people to run for president and the last three winners have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House.
As High Times senior cultivation editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times...
You want answers?
I'm as tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Radical Rant here. We got some news propaganda here on our desk from the Drug Court Professionals, and they have a new anti-cannabis flyer that they've been passing out. This has been found out in Montana and other places where they're working on the passage of medical marijuana laws or decriminalization laws, and we are going to take a look at this thing in excruciating detail and give you a look at what's being passed off as fact here in the debates. This has been going amongst many legislators, and they're relying on this information to make decisions about marijuana policy in this country. And it's just this is not, you know, something old that I'm pulling up, you know, where they shouldn't know better. This is stuff from December of 2010, people, that we're going to be looking at here in the Radical Rant. So let's go right to it in the video screen. For those of you looking at the screen, I'll describe it. For those of you listening on the podcast, it's the NADCP's National Association for the Drug Court Professionals Need to Know the Facts on Marijuana by Douglas B. Marlowe, Juris Doctor, PhD, Chief of Science, Law and Policy, December 2010. Now, with that many letters behind your name, you ought to know some stuff. So this is going to be exciting. National Association of Drug Court Professionals, you know, our motto, sentencing people to rehab they don't need since 1998. Let's see here. Incarceration for possession of marijuana is the first thing that they want to talk about. And this is always interesting to me when they get to this part of the debate. They say it is exceedingly rare to be incarcerated in the United States for the use or possession of marijuana. It's exceedingly rare to be incarcerated for marijuana possession. And then they cite some information from CASA here saying that with marijuana offense only, if you're just busted for just marijuana, it's a 1.6% of all state prisoners are just busted for marijuana only, possession only 0.7%, and first-time possession 0.3%. And they do this through a bunch of statistical magic here where they count people who this is their consideration of prison inmates sentenced for marijuana possession account for 0.7% of state prisoners and 0.8% of federal prisoners. Well, the problem here is they are considering people that are busted, and they don't consider what happens to their lives because of the arrest. I'm willing to admit that the actual numbers of people in prison in the United States just for marijuana are not a great number. It's about 30 to 40,000 people. But you also have to consider how many people are in jail because they violated probation or parole getting caught with a joint. How many people got caught with a joint and had other circumstances like having a lawfully owned firearm that then got considered to be firearm in the commission of a crime sort of statute that got them put into jail. That's the problem with this kind of statistics, is it narrows down. Very few people caught with pot are only prosecuted and jailed just for pot. They're usually prosecuted and jailed for other things, that, and the pot is an ancillary problem, but the pot is why they got caught or busted in the first place, from failing a drug test or a drug dog alerting or something like that. So the other part too is, with 850,000 arrests per year in this country for marijuana law violations, every one of those arrests carries with it the possibility of losing one's job, losing one's home, losing one's child custody, losing a scholarship, a grant to go to school. Those are the true damages from marijuana prohibition. But it still, it interests me that they have to open up with saying, we don't really lock up a lot of people for marijuana. Well, gee, if we don't lock up a lot of people for it, why do we still maintain its illegality? If it's so innocuous that we don't feel the need to lock people up, why keep it illegal in the first place? Now, we'll continue on going through their flyer, and let's see if we can get here to... Oh, that's interesting. We'll get here to page two. The addiction potential of marijuana that we will cover here. I think some of you will be very interested in hearing about this. Individuals who have used marijuana between at least five times have a 20 to 30% likelihood of becoming addicted to the drug, and those who use it regularly have a 40% likelihood of becoming addicted. Define addicted. Does this mean if I've smoked pot five times and I thought, hey, you know what? This pot smoke is not so bad. I kind of enjoy smoking pot. You know, I'd rather smoke pot than drink. I think I'll smoke pot for the rest of my life. Is that the addiction we're talking about here? Somebody who discovers that they like cannabis and then continues to use it for the rest of their lives? No, what they're considering here is again, they go back to these statistics of dependence. And the dependent statistics, all they tell us is that 9% of people that try marijuana end up having some sort of dependence on it. And then this is the quote that if there's anyone out there who's ever smoked cigarettes and tried to quit, you've got to love this one. In fact, the features and severity of the marijuana withdrawal syndrome are virtually indistinguishable from those of nicotine cigarette withdrawal. Now, I know people who have quit cigarettes. I know people who've tried to stop smoking. And I know people who had to stop smoking pot in order to pass a pee test. They'll quit for 30 days or 60 days. And believe me, they are quite distinguishable. The person who's not smoking cigarettes is the person you don't want to be around. When it comes to the person who stops smoking marijuana, usually it kind of bums them out that they can't have any marijuana. But aside from that, they don't exhibit any sort of hallmark of nicotine withdrawal like we'd see people when they stop smoking cigarettes. To claim that there would be some sort of linkage between, or that they'd be anything alike, just shows somebody who A, has never quit smoking cigarettes, and B, has never smoked pot. As we continue down this flyer, we get to page 3 in the flyer where they point out the medical harm of marijuana. And oh, you're going to love this one here. The medical harm of marijuana, smoked marijuana has the potential to be as or more harmful than cigarettes. Dun, dun, dun. The potential to be more harmful than cigarettes. Yeah, right. The potential. Yeah, and my right fist has the potential of knocking out Brock Lesnar. Ain't gonna happen, but it's got the potential. There's the potential there. Oh my God. They point out here, gram for gram, marijuana smoke is clearly more carcinogenic than cigarette smoke. No, it contains more carcinogens than cigarette smoke. It is not more carcinogenic. We have shown from Dr. Donald Tashkin's studies at UCLA, 30 years worth of study on this, that found that marijuana-only smokers not only didn't have a higher risk for head, neck, or lung cancer, they had a lower incidence of head, neck, and lung cancer, not only better than cigarette smokers, but then non-smokers. It suggested that THC has a protective effect against cancers. And that's why you don't have 430,000 people dying of lung cancer from cannabis like you do from cigarette smoking every single year. That they would even try to say smoked marijuana has the potential to be more harmful than cigarettes is absurd. Here's another one they like to bring up. A person's risk of heart attack is increased fourfold during the first hour after smoking marijuana. Four times a greater heart attack risk. This was a ridiculous study that's been debunked by Dr. Mitch many times. All it does is it shows that you have a more rapid heartbeat after smoking marijuana. And with a more rapid heartbeat, your already infinitesimal chance of having a heart attack goes up a little bit. But it's a ridiculous stat. It's like trying to scare you by saying your chances of getting hit by lightning go up four times when you walk outside of the house than compared when you're inside the house. This gets me all riled up here, and we'll cover more of this in the hour two if you join us in hour two for Toker Talk Radio, because we're only on page three here, and there's plenty more stuff to cover in this ridiculous flyer from the National Association of Drug Court Professionals. You'll like this one too. Marijuana has undisputed negative effects on cognitive functioning, including memory, learning, and motor coordination. Well, I would like the National Association of Drug Court Professionals to notice and just take a look here in the studio where my motor coordination, learning, and memory is currently with this hand running two computer screens, with my left hand running another computer screen, talking on the microphone and debunking your sad little flyer all at once. This is the pothead who's winning the debate against you guys. That tells you something about cognitive functioning, memory, learning, and motor coordination. Now, as we continue down their flyer, medicinal effects. This is where we get really silly here with the reefer madness. They point out that marijuana is a Schedule 1 drug according to the DEA, meaning it has high abuse potential and no recognized medical indication. However, the FDA has approved a particular ingredient within marijuana, THC, in a non-smoked form for certain medical indications, such as treatment of nausea, vomiting, and poor appetite. So, in other words, marijuana is not medicine until we take parts out of it and put it in a pill. By itself, though, it doesn't work. Recent studies have also supported its use in treating chronic neuropathic pain. Yeah, just as smoked marijuana, according to the American Medical Association, has efficacy against neuropathic pain. Amazing how the plant itself that contains the THC can be as beneficial or more beneficial than pulling the THC out by itself without all the other cannabinoids, terpenes, and flavonoids, and trying to get some sort of medical efficacy out of that. We've got so many people that can tell you how Marinol is just not an effective solution for their medical needs. As we move on, National Association of Drug Court Professionals continues with their research here about marijuana and saying that smoked marijuana could no more be considered a medication than cigarettes or alcohol. Smoked marijuana could no more be considered. Let me get you the context of this, unless you think, you know, I'm a little crazy here. They say, let's see, although cigarettes and alcohol have undeniable effects that many people may find palliative, alleviating short-term stress, they are very dirty drugs. For example, many people believe alcohol and nicotine lower their stress level, but in fact these drugs are proven to increase anxiety, lower stress tolerance, and exacerbate insomnia. Those drugs are also associated with a host of serious medical conditions. For these reasons, physicians would rarely, if ever, prescribe or recommend these drugs to treat a medical condition. Smoked marijuana could no more be considered a medication than cigarettes or alcohol. Yet they won't lock you up for the cigarettes and the alcohol now, will they? Yeah, you can have all the deadly, nasty, dirty drugs, cigarettes, and alcohol you want, but the medically beneficial cannabis, that's got to remain in Schedule 1. That's got to stay illegal. This is the insanity our country lives in, and this is the propaganda our elected officials are being fed every day with your taxpayer dollars paying for it. We'll have the debunked version of this up at our blog, stash.normal.org. Print out a copy and pass it out to your friends. For Cannabis Carrying Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Go Pack, go! Take it.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
And take care of each other, tokers.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.